From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
Today on the Chancellor's Report, we continue to look at ways in which the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee is working in partnership with industries in southeastern Wisconsin. My guests today are the Chancellor of UWM, Mark Mone. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Dave.
Always good to have you here. And it's great to have with us today Dave Vasca, who is Director of Advanced Technologies at Rockwell Automation. Welcome to the program.
Dave, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and maybe later on I want you to tell our listeners about your podcast, because you're really kind of pushing the boundaries and a lot of things with industry these days.
Sure, I'd love to.
But we want to talk today a little bit about some of the ways in which Rockwell is working with UWM and vice versa. And certainly people think of Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin as a community that's been home to manufacturing for many, many, many decades. Of course, we know manufacturing as it's being defined today is somewhat different than it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And I know that kind of that change is important to both of you. And I wanted to talk about ways in which you're both looking at this partnership between Rockwell and UWM and how it benefits the university. So, Mark, obviously manufacturing is not your father's industry anymore. And as I said, it's certainly evolved. And UWM launched the Connected Systems Institute to help. Can you first of all define that for us? What is that?
You bet, Dave. Thank you again for having us. And this is one of the strongest partnerships that we have with an industry that is so much of Wisconsin. And so let me set the context and talk about what Connected Systems is. With Rockwell, we've had decades of collaboration around the talent pipeline and around specific applications, whether they're in engineering or in leadership development programs. But it wasn't that long ago that senior leadership at Rockwell said, you know, one of the things that is the leading advanced manufacturing automation company in the world, we're very connected with our customers and very connected with our suppliers. But when a lot of the talent comes out, they need to understand more about what connectivity is. Can we work on that together? And so that really set things in motion, along with another parallel conversation we were having with Microsoft, where our alum, Satya Nadella, is the CEO. And he said, there's a lot of manufacturing companies in Wisconsin that really could benefit from a lot of the applications that we work on with you. So as those forces came together, we said, students, to start with, can benefit whether you're an industrial engineer, an accountant, a supply chain manager, to understand about connectivity for the factory floor, but also as we move up and down the supply chain or up into the customer space. So we started thinking about how can we change our curriculum? How can we accelerate and advance that? And then as we started getting into that, we realized because of the research opportunities and the needs that companies like Rockwell and their customers have, we have an opportunity to develop test beds. We have an opportunity to develop specific applications where we could model and simulate factories and do things, as well as when you have models and virtual digital twins and those types of applications, which we'll talk about, how you take that information from that and it goes to the cloud, and how do you use that information and turn it into meaningful. It's data. How does it become information? How do you make decisions? And how can it help improve products? How can it help improve companies grow? And so that's what this center is really all about, is to bring all those types of connectivities together around talent development, research, and solutions that solve applied problems.
So Dave, obviously, as Mark's describing it, it is not your father's industry anymore, but what is the connection point for Rockwell? What was the genesis for engaging in that conversation with UWM and this project?
Well, you're right. It's not our father's manufacturing. I mean, we're fond of saying that we'll see more change in manufacturing in the next 10 years than we've seen in the prior 50 years.
Wow.
So, but we've always found UWM has tremendous students. We hire most of that's the largest school we hire our students from. We have more students there than any other school. But we also, there's good research projects there, and there's a natural synergy being close. But we see the ability to really build upon that. And it's not just Rockwell working with UWM, but it's pulling partners in. So pulling manufacturers in that have real problems. And teaming with other industry suppliers and the students and the faculty to be able to solve those problems. That's really the opportunity that we see. And in the process of doing that, the faculty goes through that, the students learn, and then the faculty is able to solve those problems and work on the leading edge solutions ahead.
Yeah, I don't want you to give away any corporate secrets here, but can you give us an example of one of those problems and where this relationship pays off?
Sure. So you're seeing with agility, there's a need to be more agile in manufacturing. You're seeing that a lot of times it used to take many, many months, if sometimes even a year or more, to set up a manufacturing line. And there's a need to be much more agile in doing that. So technologies like Mark mentioned with the digital twins, where you're able to actually emulate something in real time, have a living model of that, and be able to see how a change will impact something actually in the production floor before you ever try it, and be able to learn what the manufacturing line is doing. Being able to adopt those technologies and apply them in the factory floor is crucial to really allowing manufacturers to be agile and meet the demands of the future.
You got to tell me what a digital twin is now.
So it's basically a model of, say, a particular equipment or a product. And you have a model, but the model is actually living. So it could be a model of a machine in a factory. And as the machine wears, the model would change and it would emulate the machine. The first time I applied a digital twin was actually some 20 years ago in a rolling mill in Australia. And they had a problem where whenever they switched from one batch of steel to the next, they could lose up to 10 tons of steel as they tuned in the specification.
Wow.
So we created a living model of that manufacturing line. And as it wore, we understood what the wear parameters were. And when we put a new batch of steel in, we would actually be able to set the settings based upon the current mill.
Right.
And we never lost a single pound of steel in doing that. It hit dead on. That's really the opportunity, to be able to have that agility and switch over and know if you can do something, even though if you can or can't do something before you try it. That's a big benefit.
So Mark, let's use that maybe as an example, or maybe you can think of another one. But so how do the faculty at UWM help a company like Rockwell deal with that problem or similar problems?
It's a great question. I'll answer it in two ways. One, the faculty expertise, for example, in computer science. When we think about digital twins, one of the things that we have is tremendous faculty expertise in developing a lot of the computer science, a lot of the underlying algorithms, a lot of the pieces that are necessary to suit up with a lot of the vendors that help provide a lot of the software. So think about applications. We all have, like in the human side, virtual reality is digital twins for us. Mm-hmm. But take that avatar, take that concept, put it into healthcare. We have faculty who are helping with companies and looking at applications where you can perform surgeries or do things in a virtual sense that has nothing to do with the actual Mark or Dave or Dave. but in fact, you know, and so if you think about that type of expertise and then you suit that up with the second component, which is there's a lot of providers. And what Dave talked about earlier is critical. This is creating an ecosystem of where you have providers working together in what we call stackable ways. But with the faculty expertise, what the university brings is the connections with, for example, our SAP Competency Center in the Lubar School of Business. That is something for enterprise resource planning, or ERP, these systems that help bring together some of the accounting, some of the inventory management, and then you put the software in. So you work with Rockwell, which develops software, one of their key partners, PTC, another partner, ANSYS, and you put all these together. And so we can simulate that. So the university becomes a setting, a neutral ground, if you will, that you can showcase all these partners coming together with faculty expertise in a physical facilities that has been supported by Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Microsoft, and these other providers that come together. So it's really a wonderful opportunity to provide that test bed, that opportunity to come in, and faculty, not just working with companies, but then bringing grad students, undergrad students into this type of lab setting where they're learning, and it all comes back to what the original genesis of this was. We need more talent for today and tomorrow's manufacturing. So it's this virtuous cycle.
So this, let me back you up just a second because you said something which really intrigues me here. So this is kind of cross-curriculum. It isn't like one school or one department or one set of faculty that play a role in this?
You're absolutely right. It can't be. It can't be just one school. It can't just be one college. the knowledge is so interdisciplinary. It has to draw from things that we're doing in terms of what we know in the management side of things around supply chain, what we know in the business school around organic and cultural systems. How you change a factory is not just the technology, but the skill sets of people to be able to learn, and how you train and develop teams to look at things differently, as well as the knowledge in a school of information science, as well as our College of Engineering Science, where you have industrial engineers, mechanical engineers, and ultimately the computer science folks that have to work together. We have been told when we first started this with just Rockwell and UWM coming together, they told us very much, if your business school and engineering school aren't as connected as we are with each of you, this will not work. It's just that connected.
So thinking about how this works for Rockwell, so you can tap into a wide variety of different resources within a university. How would Rockwell deal with these problems if you didn't have a university to partner?
So the university partnership is great, but it's also the partners coming in, that entire collaboration. So we've always been able to pick out a project, work with the university, and solve the project. That's worked extremely well. What has helped here is we have both the engineering and the business school being able to partner and come in, and then the partners. So just think about it. If we had to set up different agreements with every one of the companies to come in there, could you imagine how long the legal teams would be doing that, how much time, how much money we'd invest?
Sure.
But by having companies that want to be partners that are coming in under this framework, this neutral area to work, that's really the power of this.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for the culture of a manufacturing company like Rockwell?
It provides agility for us. We're able to go in and get a project started, to pull resources in there from other partners, but also from the students and the faculty much quicker and be able to execute much faster.
Mm-hmm. And then if the students are working on these projects in a university environment, they graduate and they become, I guess, even more valuable to you.
They become valuable to us and they become valuable to our customers. So if they, even if they don't come to us, if they go to some of our customers or out of the industry, they help as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you both this question. So how much of this work is proprietary? I mean, how much of what UWM does is something that is not shared beyond the relationship?
We always work through issues like that, so much of it will be the stuff we're willing to publish and we want to actually push out of the industry to improve the state of the art. There may be times we have proprietary work and we'll need to work out agreements and on how we'll approach that with the proprietary work.
Mm-hmm.
But on a whole, we're trying to build it up and build up the foundation of the skills.
UWM's getting really good at that, I imagine, by now negotiating those agreements.
These partnership agreements are really important. And I think just as Dave said, I'd frame it as there's probably two levels of this. The first foundational level is we want to create knowledge that's common, and it's around connectivity that's universal, and bringing together a lot of the providers and having all companies benefit from that, having our students have a skill set through both specific projects that they work on, but also the curriculum development. So we today have a master's curriculum that is being implemented, and it's working through faculty governance, but it brings together the best parts of our university around connectivity. That's going to be that common platform of knowledge that all our students, customers, companies would benefit from. But the second is where there's going to be opportunities for companies to have very specific research projects around their issues. And that's where we would have, for protection of the companies and their intellectual property, as well as the joint intellectual property, ways that we will safeguard that and have that's very particular to that company or those issues. So there will be both mm-hmm. of those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Chancellor's Report on WUWM. Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, is our guest in conversation. And we're also joined by Dave Asko, Director of Advanced Technologies for Rockwell Automation. So let me continue sort of in that vein, because one of the things that you and I have talked about in this program are the resources that are available to a university. And I imagine that a lot of the kind of projects we're talking about involve, you know, multi-million-dollar investments of capital and the like. So does this work take place at UWM, at Rockwell, both places? Talk about the facilities that are involved in this collaborative effort.
So maybe I'll start in terms of, you know, when you talk about funding, the funding sources that really support this type of activity come from, in large part, we started with a major lead gift from Rockwell. We are so grateful. Without Rockwell, it would not be happening. So we've got significant generosity. We've had other companies that have both given cash and in-kind types of resources. Those include Eaton. We've got with WEDC work from them. We've got Ansys that has been participating, giving significant amount of software support, a lot of in-kind training, a lot of the work that's been done, and several other companies that are at the table. And as we flesh this out, we'll have more through membership subscriptions. And so that's one piece. A second is Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation giving substantial help for the facilities. And then a third piece that comes in is when we talk about the student credit hours and the tuition that's going to provide a lot of the support as we grow the students that are attending this. So there's a lot of the dedicated tuition and support that will come in terms of providing funding for the faculty and things the way that typical areas work. The facilities themselves will be the starting point for a lot of the work. But then working with other academic institutions such as Milwaukee Area Technical College, Gateway Technical College, those two in particular, we've accelerated some of our work in terms of partnership with them. And then there's work that will happen at Rockwell specifically, as well as other companies on site as we develop these test beds. So you can think about virtual twin types of factory settings and then doing work in test beds in Rockwell or other companies that makes an awful lot of sense.
Hmm. Yeah. So, and we're helping to design some of the test beds. I mean, it's critical these test beds be state-of-the-art, be the latest equipment. You don't want to design something that's been out there 5 or 10 years. We want something that is brand new, is the most recent, maybe even pushing the envelope a little bit to something that hasn't been done, trying to do new things there. So that'll be part of it, developing these test beds. And as Mark said, some will be right at the university, some may be at Rockwell or at other customer sites.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think this maybe speaks to the evolution of the manufacturing sector because, you know, the manufacturing sector that, you know, my father and my friend's parents worked in was very much, you know, widget related. You came in every day, you did this piece, you did this piece, you did this piece. You're talking, I think, about always being on the cutting edge, which I think, correct me if I'm wrong, also requires an evolutionary state for your employees to continually be thinking about the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, not just the widgets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a change in how you approach it. It's a culture of continuous improvement. People in the past, maybe we've asked people to, in manufacturing on the floor, to leave their brains at the door. And we're really saying, no, we want people engaged. And people have to come to work every day and strive for continuous improvement.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that internally. We've seen a 4 to 5% increase in productivity in our own internal manufacturing year over year for it's going on a decade now.
That's so huge.
It is absolutely huge. But that's what is needed. And we need people to come in and be able to help with that. And there's all kind of tools, some really exciting tools like digital twins and augmented reality and artificial intelligence, which is going to help with this. Mm-hmm. But we need the people to be a cornerstone in actually leveraging those tools.
Yeah. That's kind of the bread and butter for a university, right, to be thinking about lifelong learning and pushing the envelope on a lot of these issues?
Well, to that point, Dave, the key here is what you're hearing is the reinforcement of technology and what I'd describe as STEM-related fields. But that's only going to get us, if we stop there, 3 years, 5 years, if we don't also think about really that foundation of looking at what are the wellsprings of creativity? From where do we get that questioning and wondering what is the future? And also thinking about the application of this from a team-building perspective and thinking about the implications of this and how do we communicate? How do we write better? How do we think through these issues? And I think that's the foundation of humanities, social sciences, liberal arts that we do quite well, which is to have people thinking about lifelong learning skills beyond just the technology. Rockwell wants to have people who are not just shelf life of 3 years, but are actually going to be able to help their customers and help them for a long, long time. So we think we've got that good blend of both skill sets at the university.
Mm-hmm. It's really important for your recruitment efforts to recruit the best and the brightest if they see a company like Rockwell investing in the future, not just in today.
It is. And we've changed really how we approach hiring talent. Things have been changing so fast. I was finding myself looking for somebody that had 5 years experience in a field that was 3 years old. And it turned into a fool's errand. But I mean, really what we're seeing more and more, we're looking for people with exceptionally strong foundational skills that can communicate well and collaborate well. And if they have that, they can grow into the challenges ahead. And I think it's an exciting field to be in, to see those changes day in, day out, and see the new things that are coming and to be able to apply those.
Mm-hmm. So Mark, is this kind of collaboration that you have with Rockwell, which obviously is very, very special and producing some really interesting things, is this where you sort of see this developing with other companies in other fields? Is the sky the limit on these kinds of connection points?
So I think that's probably one of the most important questions because it involves our future. And as I think about this, it's really part of that larger data transformation, the digitization, if you will, is that changing footprint. We're in parallel developing with Northwestern Mutual and Marquette University, the Data Science Institute. And the data science pieces come together and actually overlap dramatically with connected systems. Dave just talked about artificial intelligence, augmented reality. Those are some of the corner pins, but think about cybersecurity. And cybersecurity is an important part of data science, but if you come back to Connected Systems Institute, connectivity is really putting things in the cloud and connecting everything. So think about your smart car, your smart home, your smart everything, and that's pretty accessible. Mm-hmm. And so that's the antithesis, if you will, of cybersecurity. You're opening the channels up. But now you work with a military defense contractor, and that's mm-hmm. the last thing in the world that a company like, for example, in this area, Astronautics or Oshkosh Trucks or others can have in their manufacturing. There's a lot of important trade secrets about navigation systems around all sorts of telemetry and whatnot. So how do you protect that? While at the same time, how do you connect it? These are the frontier edges of our time. And so to help, as Dave pointed out, to help create that from the faculty and the student knowledge creation side, how do you create skill sets that are able to continue to help companies with that? That's really exciting. And I do see at the university a lot of people wanting to get involved. So we talked originally about a school of business and about a college of engineering. But in fact, when we start broadening the world of data science, you have virtually every school and college saying, we're data scientists, we can help.
Sure.
And in fact, whether it's in mathematics or in political science and anthropology, I can tell you the data scientists that are coming out of the woodwork are in fact very appropriate for so many different areas. So I think it gives industry a lot of transfer points and a lot of opportunities to really have benefits that we often wouldn't have seen in the past.
We're going to run out of time far too quickly here, but when I was going to introduce you, Dave, and I was going to introduce this topic, I was going to talk about the Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like we're beyond that. It sounds like that's so yesterday. I don't know what it is, but it just feels like we've taken a big step forward.
We have. To be honest, I think this is a vision of where we wanted to be 20 years ago, but the technology really has caught up. We have the communication networks that allow us to do this. We have cybersecurity evolving to a point where now it's much safer to be able to connect. The processing power is just exceptional to be able to execute here. We have cloud resources. We can actually pull additional computing power if we need it. And then with the augmented, the virtual reality, the mixed reality, being able to extend these environments along with artificial intelligence, it is just an amazing time to be in this field.
It really is interesting. I want to shift gears just momentarily, because we always try to end these programs with taking a look at something that people are involved in that may not be related to their day job. You told me before we started that you host and produce a podcast, and you were telling me a bit about it. Share that with our audience.
Sure. I host the podcast. It's called The State of the Industry. It's your guide to the future of smart manufacturing. And we bring guests in. Actually, Mark was one of our first guests on here, and we actually talked about a little bit of the start of the CSI when we first got started. We have some amazing guests that come on. One of the ones that was just released was one with Dean Kamen, inventor of the Segway and the medical devices. And we actually talked to him about an institute, BioFab USA, out in New Hampshire, that's working to mass produce human tissue and human organs, making it affordable for people to have that. And we're working with them to actually help with the manufacturing part. There's a lot of scientists working on it. They're not always the best manufacturers. We're teaming up to kind of tie it together to actually be able to deliver that to people at a price point people can afford.
Sounds interesting. I'm going to have to find that one. Mark, want to just touch base on something else. This has been kind of a rough winter in Wisconsin. How has the university adapted to all of that?
Well, to your point, we've had more snow and cold weather closures than we have in all my years, I think, put together. You know, I mean, if you take those sparse every 5 or 8 years, one, this winter has been the doozy of them all. So we'll be all right with respect to, you know, how we'll make up courses and things. It is more challenging. It's going to be some extra work for our students and faculty. We hope that we're through the worst of it. I worried over the weekend as I saw the wind chill starting to dip below. We've been throwing more salt on. We've had just heroic efforts by our faculty, staff, and students. And, you know, it's a hard one to predict, and how do you communicate? So we've been doing some good debriefing already, and I think we'll be all right. No big burst pipes, nothing yet, knock on wood, that's costing us millions of dollars.
So you also had the opportunity to speak to the Governor's Conference on Economic Development. I have a feeling that some of the things we were talking about with Dave kind of fits into the message you probably shared.
I did, and what I was able to do is talk about this at a regional level and talk about how we look at the future. We look at both current needs, project into the future, and there's two trends that are quite important. Number one is just when we talk about retirements and the changing needs of the workforce, just go down that path and you can see the differences. But then you put that together with both retirements and the birth dearth, as we call it, in terms of the fewer number of students that are coming of college age. And those are trends that don't work well together. And it really creates this huge need. And that's why I think we have to be even more intelligent, more careful and deliberate about how we do array the resources. So sharing that type of information, really talking about this at both the state level and especially in southeastern Wisconsin is quite important. And then providing some of the solutions, the things that we're doing about it. The partnership today, Connected Systems Institute, is at the forefront of that, just like on the supply side, the Higher Ed Regional Alliance and some of the things we're doing with K-16 in terms of M-cubed, those pipeline, longer-term types of things are vitally important. But the skills that we're developing through this center and this institute are ones that we want to really, when we think about the Internet of Things, especially in the industrial manufacturing space, that's something that's so critical. We will be sharing that and bringing other both two-year and four-year academic institutions into the fray quite well, and I think with Rockwell's partnership all the way.
I want to thank both of you for joining us today. It's been a great conversation. My guests have been Mark Mone, Chancellor of UWM, and Dave Iasco, Director of Advanced Technologies at Rockwell Automation. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.